Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
We sang him a song of times long gone, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair, Brighton Advance in Europe, and City host Spurs in the Prem. It's Friday, 1st of December. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidushita Hantaraja.
Welcome one and all, it's Friday and the banter beast is back on the pod, it's Luke Moore!
You absolute fucking wanker.
What more could anybody want than having you in the pod with Jim, Vish and myself and a Friday? And...
do you want me to answer that?
Well, a little extra, a little cherry on top, I bring you news that England have moved up to third in the world. How about that, everybody?
So what I'd like to do is let people behind the curtain a little bit, is that Marcus always, very, very kindly... when I've been on holiday or away, he always sends me a message saying, it'll be great to have you back, really looking forward to having you on the show, et cetera, et cetera. And then he starts a show like that.
Yeah. Wow, just,
what he actually means is, I need someone as a punching bag. I need someone who's quiet, who doesn't speak their mind, who's not going to bite back, and I need to bully them.
Well, also, he needs a patsy to make everything about England, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
And certainly I do.
Well, I'm a useful idiot on that. I am definitely a useful idiot.
He saw off Kissinger, didn't he?
I did.
I'm McGowan. I've taken them both down. Two people that everyone thought was indestructible.
Yeah, and here you are.
I'm actually very sad that Shane McGowan's long gone. Right. Passed on.
I think you've said what you want. England, yes. They achieved this feat in 2012 and 2021, believe it or not. It's the joint highest spot they've ever held.
There's no point having a running order, is there?
Yeah.
And he just ignores it. Yeah, he's like the American Department of Defense with their secret budgetary programs. He just gets them all done without anyone knowing.
The opposite of a dead cat?
Yeah.
A live cat?
Yeah. You chuck it in a bag and throw it in the water and you'll find out.
Oi!
It'll come back to life very quickly.
Marcus. Where did this come from?
Know.
You Darkness. Mentioned the cat.
Schrodinger's murder.
Yeah.
Oh.
You mentioned the cat, so I'll tell you how to murder one.
It's now your murder.
It's a family show.
That's how you get them going, everybody, if they're being a bit lazy. Or as Billy Connolly said, throw a dog in the room and see how fit the gear is.
Yeah.
Awful. Henry, if you're listening. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, is that Henry's cat?
Henry the cat.
About?
Yeah.
My goodness. Let's talk about some European football. Brighton beat AEK Athens 1-0 in Greece. They are through to the knockouts no matter what happens. A bit of a funny system. If they finish top, it is way more beneficial to finish top of your group in the Europa League than, say, the Champions League. It's beneficial in the Champions League, but a lot more beneficial in the Europa League. Jim Campbell, have an explainer, please.
Because if you finish second in your group, you go into a playoff with the teams who have dropped out of the Champions League, where if you win your group, you get a lovely day off. Then you go right into the last 16, which... It's kind of good for Brighton, though, because the last game is at home. Obviously, it's against Marseille, a good team. Mm-hmm. So they're through whatever happens. But there's a bit of jeopardy, something to play for. Yes. And what they want is an exciting European nights, right? So yes. This promises to be that. And if they win, it will be absolutely thrilling. And they have been really good.
Yes. Well, and while it is about sort of, I don't know, 0, 1, 2 degrees in these islands, Jim, is it ideal for an away trip to Athens where today it's 20 degrees and sunny?
Oh, lovely. Ooh,
yeah, lovely. Hang around. Miss your flight on purpose.
How about that? That is what you want, an away trip to Greece in December.
Lovely bit of late year sunshine.
What, November is it was last night?
That's right. Thanks for clearing that up.
That's right.
There will be a lot of people listening who don't know how the Gregorian calendar actually works, so it's very good to
clarify. We have a lot of ancient people.
I would just say that it's a great reward for Brighton to... congratulations on your first ever European campaign. Well done for picking up all those points. Paris Saint-Germain next.
Yeah,
which it could be. I mean, it could be Paris Saint-Germain next, right?
It could be.
Or Napoli or something.
Well, it could get a gimme and get Manchester United, so you never know. But it was their third clean sheet of the season. All of them have come in the Europa League, which is the opposite to Manchester United.
I thought they kept English teams apart, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, they will do, yeah. The first bit, yeah.
Well, who knows? They change the rules every round, don't they?
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
Why do they do so much? Why do football administrators do so much of their admin during the season? Like Everton's points deduction. It feels like it should really be happening there.
Yeah.
Like we can get onto that if you want to, but I think really it should be happening in between seasons. They did the same thing with Juventus. Points off, I have a few back. You know, Everton will be the same. You're going to appeal, have a few back, we'll relegate someone else. There brilliant. It's like a fucking circus.
It's like a little bonus.
It is.
You can't take your eyes off it.
What was the original question?
I think it was to do with Brighton and João Pedro scoring, adding to his goal tally for the season 9. He came up against Alvida in the centre of defence.
Very much
Alvida.
Old Vida now as well.
That's right.
Although he's always looked about 40, hasn't he?
But then it doesn't. Well, should we be surprised? Because I mean, if it's 20 degrees on a December day,
you're saying they've defrosted him. Well, taking him out of the fridge.
No, I'm saying he's getting older. That's where you want to retire to the sunshine.
Fair.
Well, you could start looking all leathery, couldn't he? Because he's been in the sun too long.
It's a lovely old job, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice.
You've earned your stripes. Get down there.
You can see why.
Southern Europe.
Why go? João Pedro bought himself a penalty, didn't he?
It was a pen.
It was a pen, but it's almost like he expressly engineered it, knowing really intricately the benefits of the VAR system.
Yes.
If I do this, you might not give it, but VAR will.
Yeah, that's true.
Like a cheat code.
It was a bit
that's
like
what
that.
It's sort of becoming, isn't
he
it?
He did left, right, up, down, A, B, C.
AEK.
AEK on the joypad.
And he got it.
And I think we could still be calling them joypads, by the way.
Yeah.
And he got a penalty.
Yeah. Well, Brighton are now a point behind Marseille. They'll need to beat them, of course, as you say, in the final group game at the Amex to avoid Paris Saint-Germain in the next round.
Can I make a semi-serious point about Brighton in Europe this season? And that's just that they look like a team who have matured and learned as they've gone within this group stage.
Yeah, been impressive.
I think very, very early on, it looked like it might be a bit too much for them.
Yeah.
And everyone who has watched them in the group stages this season should be impressed with how well they've adapted. And it's actually a testament to how good De Zerbi is as a coach as well.
Yeah.
Because, as you say, they're going to go through one way or the other. And that's amazing given their history and their relative newcomer status to this competition, this level of competition.
I do agree with you. And of course, it'd be nice to see Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang back on English shores, Vish, do you not think? Especially if he's scoring overhead kicks like he did last night.
Yeah, that was a lovely little goal. He looks very old, doesn't he? Speaking of people that look old.
Yeah.
He looks, is it the hair, though?
Annoyed.
I think, but he looks quite gaunt as well.
Yeah, he looked kind of angry when he scored that overhead kick. Weirdly. Yeah. It's like, oh, he's lost his smile. That's really sad.
It's very strange seeing an angry somersault, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Where's it going to end?
Yeah.
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 A vindictive roly-poly.
You're going to look forward to seeing him again, Jim, or have you still got your pathetic little agenda against him?
I've got no pathetic little agenda against him. He was a great servant for Arsenal. Then he left like a snake.
and then he went to Chelsea,
and now he's got his just desserts. So no.
Really endeared himself.
That's just a series of facts, Marcus.
Yeah. Sorry.
Don't care about your feelings.
You've still got your agenda. But as you said that, I don't think it's pathetic. So that's fine.
I think you have your agenda along with Barcelona fans and Chelsea fans.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, he was sort of sold after throwing his toys out the pram a little bit, wasn't it? But genuinely, there were some great memories that he provided. So
I think
that has softened a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there.
West Ham booked their spot in the next round after Tommy Souček scored another late goal.
Yeah.
89th minute winner against Bakir Topola.
Saw the opponents, didn't watch it next.
Nice goal, though.
Didn't watch it.
not too dissimilar to the one against Burnley, Vish.
The one against Burnley was better. This was a corner with a nice cross. Otherwise, the game was shit.
Apologies to West Ham.
But West Ham aren't worth watching without Kudus or Bowen. Simple as
Pakitar?
That. Yeah, good point, actually. They are worth watching with Pakitar.
They're on for this tournament.
But you're a big fan of James Ward-Prowse as well, so...
He's been very good.
You like seeing him off the leash, don't you?
I like seeing him at a big club, mate. I like seeing him at a big club.
I just like the fact that West Ham are on their way for a Europa League win.
They are.
And Moyes, he's just working his way up to the big one.
He is.
Yeah. Give him a chance.
It's all building up to getting knocked out in the third qualifying round of the Champions League. I don't even know if you can do that.
Speaking of memories, do you not... I mean, next season... Could West Ham win the Champions League?
No.
No.
Why are you asking that?
8 minutes into the show, you're already scraping the ground where the barrel used to be.
Just chucking it
There's
out.
Loads
there.
Of good stuff on this running order. Stick to that.
Like Liverpool winning 4-0.
No, not that. No, not that.
Oh, what's wrong with that?
I'll tell you what was good.
Go on.
You're going to say you don't want to talk about it until the established Europa Conference League section.
Uh-huh.
But the game I did watch, which was brilliant, was the Aberdeen game.
Right. That's in the Europa Conference League, so we'll talk about that.
Oh, you're the only one who could bring stuff in, like Liverpool beating LASK.
Liverpool beat LASK 4-0.
Great
impressive,
stuff.
Impressive stuff from
really
them.
Good, getting the job done.
Surely they are favourites for the Europa League. LASK. They were awful.
No. Although actually...
Yeah, but Jim, the LASK will be first. Right.
If your heart wasn't in that at all, was it?
That's what I liked
if you
it.
Don't go with me, I will drag
it.
You down.
Can I just say, what you... Boys, the thing that you have to remember when we talk about this kind of thing between Liverpool beating LASK 4-0 is that every second that goes past that Liverpool play in the Europa League annoys a Liverpool fan somewhere. So embrace it. They are annoyed they're having to look at this competition, alone be in it.
I mean, they are so far and away the best team in it at the moment.
Yeah.
It's a real reminder of how much better the Champions League is, isn't it? Because,
uh-huh.
I mean, Liverpool look at that level, obviously, this season. They look like the real deal. And it was really on display last night. The best thing about LASK was their sponsor, which is Back Aldrin Corn Spits.
Right.
It's corn with a K, like the excellent band.
That is very...
And their dubstep album.
Are they still going?
They did a dubstep album, Luke. I implore you to listen to it. It's exactly as good as it sounds.
Yeah, I'll give it a go.
Well, speaking of Liverpool, gentlemen, did you see that Mario Balotelli
there it is.
Reignited his... feud with former Liverpool manager Brendan Rodgers this week.
I did, because it's in the running order.
Yeah. Well, it's...
Also, when was it ignited? Yeah. I don't remember it being, oh, God, they've fallen out. It just falls out with everyone.
Well, he left under Rodgers, I think, didn't he? So
I know, but that's not feud-worthy, is it?
Mario Balotelli.
Under a plume of smoke.
Yeah.
Well, I was about to say, it's been a bad week for Rodgers. You know, Celtic crashing out of Europe, you know, not having a good time of it on the continent. And then Mario Balotelli says, Brendan Rodgers is the worst coach I have ever had. Now... He then sort of counters his own point here by saying he was number one as far as training sessions were concerned, what with keeping possession of the ball and the small-sided games. And you think, well, hang on, if you're Rodgers, you go, well, maybe I've not come across too badly there. But as a person, he was a disaster.
But there's a couple of points I'd make on that.
Right.
One is that it's particularly mean-spirited given that from memory... Brendan Rodgers was the one who took a chance on Balotelli and was like really supportive of him and took him to Liverpool, who are a massive club, and said, let's see what you can do, I believe in you. So that's actually really mean, isn't it? And the second thing is, as you've alluded to there, that's not a coach issue. That's a person issue.
Yeah.
And everyone knows Brendan Rodgers is a maniac anyway, so who cares? It's not
but people,
news, is
but
it?
Players tend to like playing for Rodgers.
Yeah, but there's the other side to it whereby Rodgers shows that side to him to Balotelli. And then Balotelli doesn't think it's reciprocated because when Balotelli takes a piss, he thinks, well, you understand, you know what I'm like. And it's like, well, yeah, you're supposed to meet me halfway with this
right,
kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I think it's a bit harsh on Rodgers.
I do too. But it's good to have him in the headlines and he'll be pleased with that, won't he?
He'll be very pleased with that. Absolutely. Let's talk about the Europa Conference League.
Thanks
Can
very
I
much.
Just quickly bring it back to the Liverpool last game.
Okay,
Jim. I don't know if anyone watched it here or in the country outside of Liverpool. There was a point where they were talking about the stadium redevelopment and I did enjoy Steve McManaman talking about it as if he'd been the foreman on the project.
It's like, just a bit of redevelopment. More seats. Yeah, fine. It's all going fine.
That should be the briefing note that he gave. Just put a lot of new seats up there. Fine, that'll be fine.
It's absolutely not going fine because for my dad's 70th birthday, I bought him tickets to Anfield, and we didn't know, but it was in the new section, and then we got told that we can't go because it's not ready yet.
Now I'm against it. Yeah. I mean, how many different football teams do your family support out of interest? Is it just a random select, like a tombola?
Yeah. I think it's four in the house of four.
Yeah.
And only because my mum likes the name Aston Villa.
It's Tom Hanks-esque.
Yeah, it is Tom Hanks. Bit, yeah. Prince William.
Yeah.
Who is it? Tom Hanks and Prince William are the famous
David
Aston Villa.
David Cameron. David Cameron. He got mixed up and said he supported West Ham that time.
Oh, West Ham, yes.
I listened to Korn.
Yeah.
Only the dubstep stuff. Aston Villa beat Legia Warsaw 2-1. Last night, Unai Emery said he wanted to get revenge on Legia Warsaw.
They took that well, didn't they?
Yeah, well, Legia Warsaw fans were not allowed inside the ground after violence towards police before the game. So, all a bit unsavoury there. But it's another win for Villa in the Europa Conference League, which is because of Unai Emery, and also not just because of Emery, because of the football they're playing. We expect them to win that competition, don't we, Vision?
Yeah.
A canter.
Well, even the seriousness of, oh, we want to get revenge. Like, chill out, mate. It's a Europa Conference.
Yeah, yeah.
Save it for the weekend.
Yeah, that's why he wins these competitions. Yeah.
I think
we lost 3-2 in the first. No one remembers.
Yeah.
No one cares. Do you have any idea how many football matches are played every season?
In the dressing room before, you remember what these blokes to us?
No.
Oh,
who are they again?
3 minutes yeah. Alison, you just watched that. Do you not remember that?
Remember what happened in Poland? What, in the war? Not in the war.
Oh. In the Warsaw.
I mentioned it once.
But the thing is, you're right to make the point. I think it was Jim made the point earlier about the difference between the Champions League and the other two European competitions is that, you know, you don't really, and I know Andy's fond of saying this, you don't really pay that much attention to these other two till about the quarterfinal stage. Mm. And really, and also given the amount of money on offer for, or that's available, I suppose, and spending power to teams like Aston Villa, they have to, it's a minimum semi-final job. Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah.
And that's even before you put Emery in the mix as well, who's got an amazing pedigree.
Well, Brassel sucked the romance out of West Ham's Europa League win, didn't he, by saying, well, look at the budget they have. You know, of course they should be winning a tournament like that, which I think is a touch harsh. And I think there was plenty of romance there. But there is a point.
The point stands, though. And also, I can't remember a competition that's had such a heavy favourite before. Mm. And that's part of the pressure that Villa have to deal with, right?
Yeah.
They just have to just be awake
they
and
do
take
have to
it
deal
seriously.
With that, that's right, they do have to deal with that. But they also have to deal with the idea that 99% of the other teams in the competition are much worse than
of course.
Do you think that would be an argument if Emery was like, well, you guys are heavy favourites for this. Yeah, but we have to deal with that.
You've lost to Mostar over two legs. It was a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
It's not easy being favourite.
But I don't think it's unfair to say that it is a nuisance for Aston Villa as well. Bear in mind that they want to try and break into the top four, establish themselves in the top six.
Yeah.
We know fundamentally that the Thursday weekend rigmarole doesn't work particularly well, and it helped that West Ham, by the time they were taking it seriously, had basically got themselves out of trouble last year.
You're right. They're going very well in the league and they are 2 points off the top. So do they concentrate on the title or the Conference League?
I think if you're a Villa fan, the experience is incredible, but they will get to a stage if they have maintained this position come February where they're like, you know what, it's just not as important.
What a shame. Elsewhere in the Europa Conference League, Aberdeen came from behind to draw 2-2 with HJK Helsinki in Finland.
Yeah.
Not the trip you want to be making at the end of November, of course. The game was briefly stopped because some Aberdean fans were throwing snowballs at
Can
the Helsinki
I just say,
goalkeeper.
This was the best game I've seen this season.
McDonald's goal, Aberdeen's first goal.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to overkill, but it was one of the great goals of our time.
Of any time.
The way it sits up, and not one for getting on the score sheet generally.
It looks better because of the weather as well.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
The way it's out because the ground was firmer because it was frozen. Yeah. Mm. Like it just, it's perfect.
This was like watching a game in the past. It was.
Well, but it's a fake pitch though, isn't it? So
it is, but
mind you, Loftus Road.
They didn't, Kenilworth Road as well.
There you go.
They didn't paint the lines a different colour.
No,
so no one knew what was happening.
No.
They had an orange ball, which is obviously great.
They kept running off into the town before
they
gave a throw.
There was a point in the second half, there was a moment where a ball gets played through and the Aberdeen goalkeeper, Roos, I think it is,
30 yards out, picks it up.
No, you could tell he didn't know. He wasn't quite sure. It was already out of his area and he had to come back so he could pick it up.
You just got to boot it.
But he couldn't see where the line was.
Yeah, I mean, there was
And should that be happening in top level football? The answer is absolutely yes, it should.
Yeah.
And we should remove all lines immediately.
Yeah, well, that's it. There was a 10-minute delay in the second half as a snowplow came on to clear
the
pitch.
Oh, it's great. It's like a Zamboni. For those of you who like ice hockey, it was like a Zamboni. And the other thing that was really great about it was that they... they delayed it because of the snowballs, as you said. They delayed it because they had to clear the snow. They had like three or four snow plows on there, and the players went off, and then they started warming up again. And it was, I think, about -6 at the time. And I actually think the players went off for 12 minutes based on my watching of it. 4 minutes injury time at the end. Well. it's 2-2. There's still any team can win. Nah, get them off. Everyone's fucking pissed off.
It has stopped the clock.
It's too cold. Get everyone home. It was great to watch. It was a brilliant game.
I'm glad Aberdeen got something out of it because obviously they're already out. But those are the away trips. They'll remember that one.
It was fantastic. And there was 3 Helsinki fans in the crowd, tops off, jumping around.
Come on.
It was brilliant.
Good boys.
It was great stuff to watch.
Proper men. right, let's go back.
That's what makes you a man.
Indeed, it
is. Get your top off now.
It's already off. let's go to the Premier League. Newcastle United are hosting Manchester United on Saturday night. The last time the two met, Newcastle hammered Manchester United at Old Trafford in the Carabao Cup. Of course, Manchester United licking their wounds after that unwanted draw in Istanbul, should I say, against Galatasaray. Vish, this is not ideal to come home and then face what will be perhaps a raucous St James's Park with people when their tops off.
Perhaps. Yeah. 8 p.m. on a Saturday, perhaps.
Ramble reaction was like a therapy session. I loved it.
Yeah.
You going Jurgen Klopp, are you saying that it should be a Sunday game?
I think it would be better for United if it was a top 30.
Which
game.
United?
Manchester United.
Thank you.
Well done, Marcus. Absolute arrogance from
Alan Pardew over here.
Yeah.
When he said that.
Yeah.
As Newcastle manager.
The only thing that is working in Manchester United's favour going into this is the fact that Newcastle United expended so much energy in the PSG game.
And were then disappointed.
Yeah.
And have no players as well.
That's part of them being knackered because they didn't make any subs. So you're in a situation there where, you know, that could play into Manchester United's favour. But at the same time, like, Newcastle at home have been so, so good. And there is an opportunity there to just forget about midweek for Newcastle.
Yeah.
And if you think of also the situation that Manchester United find themselves in where they are there's a lot of introspection which they can't really do anything about. Like, Onana's not suddenly going to be pulled out of the firing line for this game. He might do after this game, but very much everything that was in place that was a mistake in midweek will still be in place on the weekend. Mm.
What's really interesting about it is that there's likely to be 19 players out unavailable across both teams going into this game, which I don't remember any time I can think of, but that's happened. It's just really shows you how much football these players are being asked to play and how ridiculous it's now got, particularly with that that World Cup in over Christmas as well. So that's really an issue because it means that, you know, fans who are paying to go and watch the game, fans who are paying to watch it on telly, they're just not getting the product they have paid for because of the decisions that have been made by a ridiculous set of organisers at the top of the game. But the other thing I'd like to say about this game is just that Newcastle will probably have 11 of those 19 out. So basically a full 11 out and unavailable for whatever reason. But when you look at the 11 they could play, I think that's an 11 that could beat Man United.
Well, it's not bad, is it?
Yeah. The back four will be Livramento, Lascelles, Shaw and Trippier. Pope in goal. Yeah. I mean, he played brilliantly against PSG.
Yeah.
Joao Linton, Guimaraes and Miley, who's coming in. He's a great prospect. And then Anthony Gordon and Almiron on either side of Isak. That's a good 11.
It is a good 11.
So, yeah. I mean, I know that Newcastle fans will be screaming, but all these players we've got missing, and I understand the frustration there. But based on what we've seen in this Man United team, Newcastle can beat them, even though Man United, as you guys mentioned midweek, they're a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde character. In the Premier League, they're not actually that bad.
No. Well, we were talking about this on Reacts, but then Vish did point out, I mean, look, a win's a win's a win and all that, but the recent victories have been, you know, not the most convincing and against not the best opposition. They've still got those wins, though.
I mean, the 3-0 win at Goodison, I thought, given that,
well, other
Everton,
than that.
Everton have been, have got a lot of reasons to really kick on and galvanise.
Yeah.
And they got completely outdone by United from the start, really.
This is a very different prospect, though, isn't it? Newcastle
definitely
are a lot more organised.
I think Newcastle will win. I think Newcastle will win.
Yeah. Speaking of Andre Onana, did you see that video of him at full time? A shot from sort of behind the goal where he's just all alone and he takes his gloves off and throws them on the ground and he's just looking very unhappy, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And the video's only about 25 seconds long. but he just really, really cuts a very sad and dejected figure.
It was a sad watch.
Man United leak is in full spring still as well, because there has been a lot. There's been talk that he's worried about losing his place when he goes to the AFCON, because obviously someone else would have to step in.
Yeah.
And it shows you sort of where his mind's at. If he's worried that if anyone else even gets a chance, he's not getting back in there. And it's a strange one, isn't it? Because obviously there's been some high profile mistakes from Onana. We all know that. We've all seen them. But he's shown the good side of his game as well a lot. Like he's made some really, really good saves. He's had some really excellent games.
He was signed on merit.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he's had good displays as well. It's a strange one. I don't think it's going to be one of those bizarre situations where I suppose Kepa would be a sort of comparable one, where he comes in with a big reputation, loses a bit of confidence, never really gets it back.
Kepa's playing at Real Madrid now.
He is, but I'm in terms of his career at a particular club, it's sort of he didn't really recover from it, did he?
He's playing at Real Madrid on loan as well.
Yeah, so what you're saying is Onana may go on loan to a bigger and better club and... have a lovely time.
Sure, Marcus. That's what I'm saying.
That's what Kepa's done.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. No, but I'm talking about another situation.
Jim, do you not remember Marcus like massively defending Kepa all the way through his Chelsea reign when I said that he just doesn't make any saves?
I thought that was Claudio Bravo.
Yeah.
There's been so many of them.
That's true, yeah. I understand what you mean. And Onana's not suddenly become a bad goalkeeper overnight. One does have to look at the team and go, you know, is it because he's playing in this team? Now, I think that might be a bit harsh, you know, that especially with that second goal against Galatasaray.
I think both of them, I don't think you can blame anyone else for those, can you?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, is it sort of symptomatic of being a part of this side? I don't know.
But you made the point when we did the reacts on Wednesday night that if he was making mistakes that tallied with what he was being asked to do, such as play the ball, you know, more from his feet, then yeah, you can attribute that to like, right, maybe you're not up to scratch here.
Yeah.
But this is just like... save the ball when it's shot at you.
The way I see it is slightly different. I remember that conversation you guys had, and I didn't find too much to disagree with. But what I think is relevant here is the idea that if you're playing for an organisation that is completely adrift, like there's no leadership at the top of the club, no one really knows what's happening. No, as Jim said, they're leaking all over the place because people are unhappy. The manager's not really in control, as Marcus said on Wednesday. Yeah, he's now in danger of just becoming another post-Ferguson manager, right? Well, what's the difference between the other players that are performing quite badly who have come with big reputations like a Mason Mount or one or two others? Well, the difference is Andrew Onana plays in goal. Mm. So if Mason Mount has a start to his Man United career that he's had, because they're such a big club and because he's playing in midfield and because there's a lot of other players in that club outfield who have not been playing very well, no one really says anything. Makes him out cost a fucking shitload of money. Yeah. How many times do people talk about him? Not very much money. If he's a goalkeeper like Onana is, who came for a shitload of money a year after signing for Inter and playing in the Champions League final, there's just nowhere to hide.
Yeah, it's so no insulation.
I'm not excusing his performances because I don't actually think he's been very good. Although conversely, I do think he's a good goalkeeper. I just think there's nowhere to hide in that environment and in that situation, and that's why he's getting a lot of press.
He got papped dropping his car keys a little while ago.
Doesn't that kind of stuff help?
Didn't used to happen, did it?
Manchester United fans were outraged that Erik ten Hag hugged Hakim Ziyech at full time. Of course, he played under him at Ajax. Vish, you were one of those outraged United fans.
No, I don't. I think this is massively overblown. I think the story itself, like a few people tweeted about it.
It was the Sun, and they actually said in the headline, "Man United fans sickened."
Yeah.
I love it. You can't have friends in football.
In another world, whatever the press complaints commissioner called now, I can't remember, I'd love for them to get involved here and say, right, the Sun, you are going to find me, right?
Yeah.
More than one, because you've said fans, plural.
Yeah.
People who were physically made sick by the act of Erik ten Hag hugging Hakim Ziyech. And if you can find two, we won't fine you a load of money.
Well, Erik ten Hag, will he be hugging any of the Newcastle players after the full time whistle?
All of them. After a 3-0 defeat.
Would that outrage you, Vish, if Newcastle won 3-0 and ten Hag went up and hugged every single one of the Newcastle players?
What if he hugged whoever scored the winner, I'd be a bit annoyed. Right after the goal.
What if he high-fived them?
I'd like it.
If he runs onto the pitch and joins in the celebration after the goal.
Yeah, like I'd Steve like Bruce him. On that.
I'd like him to hug every Newcastle United player and then on the way down the tunnel get left hanging for a high five with Jadon Sancho.
Jadon Sancho just there with his lunchbox.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to the match, though?
No, of course
I am,
he's
actually.
Not.
I know I am.
He is. He's a liar. He's not lying.
He loves football. He loves Saturday nights.
I'm actually watching it with my family, which would be quite nice.
Including your brother, who seems to have incredible skill at getting under your skin.
And supports football. Newcastle United.
And supports Newcastle, yeah.
It's mainly the Newcastle stuff, yeah. Also, it's easier because he sends me voice notes whenever Manchester United do badly. And now he'll be in the room, which I'm sure won't be annoying at all.
The voice notes he sent you, you've played them to us. He basically goes, ooh, doesn't he?
No, he does a laugh.
Oh, it's a laugh, is it?
It's a laugh, yeah.
And he used to do the sue.
Yeah.
So a Man United sort of keeping your kind of relationship alive, really.
Not all brothers communicate
that often, do they?
I don't think it's helping, actually.
I do quite like, though, that he does that. I met a chap who was a big Hibs fan recently, and he said that his uncle, who's a Hearts fan, every time Hibs concede a goal, he just texts him, whoops.
So annoying. That's brilliant.
So irritating. Yeah. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
It's basically like a Sky Sports Score Center update, but very specific. No. He's only getting paid for that.
He's on it. Oh my goodness, Hibs are playing today. Quick. Before we go for a break, do join us tomorrow for a brand new Ramble mailbag, because we've got some excellent questions from your good self. We'll be talking about the best atmospheres we've ever experienced live, how fans in England perceive fans of their club from overseas, and we're hearing a feel-good story about an 80-year-old referee in Norway who, quite frankly, doesn't take any shite. Do catch that tomorrow, and of course subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode. Right.
Whoops.
Let's have a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stressors can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Major problems with it. For me, looking at that video, that cat hadn't done anything wrong.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody.
It's mental that happened.
Timeless.
This is unbelievable that happened.
What, the actual...
No, the act is horrific. Yeah. But the fact they got Graham Souness to comment on it in that way and he did it is remarkable.
Marcus was giving tips on similar things earlier in the show.
True, so
have you changed your tune on this?
Marcus is the only person I know to be Team Zuma in that situation.
Yeah.
I hate cats. Manchester City host Spurs. I don't really. No, you should be kind to all animals and Absolutely. Even kinder to human beings.
Yeah.
Manchester City host Spurs Sunday at 4:30. What's wrong with that?
I don't know. But not at the expense of human beings.
Just very, very quick life advice. I enjoyed it. I haven't really got time to solve all of humanity's problems, but I'll give it a quick go.
Here's a couple of nuggets. Here's a couple of starters.
Here's a quick go and a link. I'll give you a link. Can you save humankind? I'll give you one link.
Jake Humphrey.
Yeah. Oh, you are a bit like Jake Humphrey.
Piss off. Spurs are on a run of three successive defeats.
Have you guys noticed how few Spurs fans are up in your mentions now?
Yeah.
it's gone. You know, like sometimes you see those graphs of Google searches for the millennium bug?
Around
August 1999.
Yeah.
Well, for about two or three months.
Has it come back, the millennium bug?
No, you're right, mate.
Oh, okay. 2038, apparently it will. Not it, but a similar issue.
Spurs fans are the same. First two or three months of the season, you couldn't move for them, could you? They're everywhere.
They're better than Portsmouth, though, aren't they?
They are better than Portsmouth. Yeah. I don't think that's a prize there more anyone wants to win.
The Spurs are languishing down in fifth now at 4 points off Arsenal, who are top of the league. Don't do that wanker sign, Jim. There's no need for that.
That is just my face, and I find that offensive. And I've explained that to you before.
Paul Merson has warned Ange Postecoglou to change his tactics. He did this while he had his hand on his throat. No, he said that it could turn out like Arsenal's infamous 8-2 defeat at Old Trafford if he doesn't switch this around.
Because it's like he's tried to have a dig, but he's dropped a grenade in his own pants in doing so.
Yeah.
Don't mention that. Don't mention literally the worst moment in our modern history.
What do you think? I mean, Spurs, we know Ange likes to attack, and Spurs have been doing that. Even if they're down to nine men, they still like to kind of try and take the game to the opposition. Should they do that against Manchester City, Vish? Because what else could they do?
Well, I think that decision will end up being forced upon them because of Bentancur's injury, which means Højbjerg's going to be in that midfield. He's going to start in that midfield. Uh-huh. He's just a much more defensive player. I think he does move forward quite well. He's certainly quite good at passing forward, but I think fundamentally because he doesn't burst through, I don't think you see him as one of these like perpetual motion figures that Angie seems to love. I think naturally they will be a bit more stabilised in that regard. He'll almost work as an anchor, really, and prevent them from like really throwing themselves forward. But I don't know. Like, would you? The whole point, his whole thing has been about not ceding any ground, not going back on his principles, in part because you're still at a stage with Spurs where they have to be imprinted, and they're not quite imprinted yet. But I don't really see any other way that they approach it. In terms of, they can't go at Man City because A, that's foolish and everyone knows that's foolish. But B, they just don't have the personnel to do it as effectively. Mm. And also we've seen, also we've seen that because they have so few options up top now, players like Brennan Johnson and Song Heung-min end up playing the whole game.
Yeah.
And they're cooked by about 60 minutes.
Yeah, so on that, I mean, I think that there might be a feeling that's crept in three-time manager of the month winner Ange Postecoglou could only play one way. I'd be surprised if that was the case.
Yeah, I would.
We know it's not true.
He's been too
successful for that to be the case.
Exactly. So would it be the most outrageous thing to think that they might play on the break?
But the question is that's only part of the question.
Yes.
The main overall question is what personnel do they have to do it?
Yeah.
Because if we're going to talk about Newcastle United and Man United having players missing, Spurs also have about, I think, 11 players.
Yeah, they've got some key players.
So they're going to struggle to play in the way that Ange would want to play anyway because he hasn't got the players available.
But we know that top level managers, though, they can set up differently for a particular game. You know, this is how you earn your money, right?
After the Chelsea game, he did say that, you know, this is how we play. We're not going to compromise on our principles, as Vish alluded to earlier. Mm-hmm. And I suppose this is the ultimate test of how true that is, right, in terms of how much he's going to stick to a particular philosophy. Mm. Away at Man City with all these personnel issues, I mean, if they still go hell for leather, you have to admire it in a way.
In a way, I kind of want that because I think...
Yeah, it's a great game. It's a game of the weekend.
Yeah.
It'll be fascinating to watch.
Definitely. And I think that there is that kind of thing with Man City. If you try and camp out on the edge of the box, which I'd be very surprised if they did because, as you say, that's just not the way he wants to play. there's always that thing of have a go. Now, as you say, Vish, you know, have a go in football. We can't because we don't have the ball and they're squeezing us. You know, it's that sometimes people just say, well, let the handbrake off. No, they've put the handbrake on our car. Do you know what I mean?
Like, we've taken out the wheels.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So sometimes these things are a bit stupid. But, you know, they are where they are in the league. They've had a good season thus far. The last three results haven't been there. I am intrigued as to see how they will play.
So you've got to look at how the fact that Spurs have actually got a reasonable record against Man City. Right?
They've won three of the last five in the league.
So they in February of 2022, they beat them 3-2 at City. And the way they did it is by basically having hardly any of the ball, but being ruthlessly efficient when they did get it.
I like the idea of being ruthlessly efficient. We've scored.
Kind of were a wee bit.
At what cost?
We scored, but we've angered them. Yeah. You know? And there were a couple of goals late on. Jimmy Mahrez got a penalty in the 90th minute, and Kane scored very, very late as well. So there is a blueprint there for them. I just think, you know, we can talk about precedent, we can talk about previous games, and talk about the fact that Spurs have shown themselves to be good when they've got players available and they play in the way that Postecoglou wants them to play. And they should be credited, and he should be credited, for the speed in which they've taken on board his ideas. Because it's been a shit show beforehand. Mm-hmm. To two managers before, it's been shit on a stick stuff. It's been awful for a large part of it.
So he's won three Manager of the Month awards. I know I've mentioned that a few times.
And we totally understand why people like him and why Spurs fans are happy. And I had a little dig at them earlier, but that's the way it goes. They're going to have to play with Lo Celso alongside Bissouma, probably. And they're going to have to play Brian Hill, aka the human feather, on the left wing, right? And what you're looking for as a manager, I expect, is you're looking at players like Hill and Lo Celso, one of whom who's not found it very easy to play in the Premier League, the physicality of it, and the other one who was out on loan last season, he's someone who's been surplus to plans, you'd have thought. He's going to need to get performances out of them. And he's going to need to get a 90-minute performance out of really big players. And something Vish alluded to earlier, it's very, very difficult to do. So, look, if they approach this in a naive way, they'll get absolutely fucking crucified. Mm. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. But football doesn't always tend to work out like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Big news concerning Manchester City is that they and the Premier League have agreed a date for a trial over their 115 financial breaches. It's been penciled, and I do stress penciled, in for late autumn next year. A reminder that they are being accused of breaching 115 regulations over 14 seasons from 2009-10 onwards. Now, if the trial does go ahead without any delays at that time, then a verdict wouldn't be expected until probably summer 2025. Either side can appeal, of course. Manchester City cannot go to the Court of Arbitration for Sport this time, where they successfully had their Champions League ban overturned, though.
Yeah.
So, again, with regards to this, people are saying the earliest you might get some sort of verdict is 2025, but that's without delays. You could have appeals and so on. And bearing in mind the investigation was opened back in February 2018.
Yeah. Well, they're on record. Manchester City are on record, aren't they? That I forget the exact specific individual, but an individual associated with Man City is on record as saying we would rather spend £50 million on the best lawyers in the world to delay this inevitably than actually do it.
The chairman. Right.
Yeah, it was the chairman, was it? Okay. Yeah, so you know, at least, you know, at the moment, at least we can hope that a decision will be made in the summer, not when the football season is actually happening, which I think is hugely problematic for several reasons. And I would just add that there's a really interesting article in The Athletic written by a friend of the Ramble, Oliver Kay, about specifically the Everton situation, but it covers a lot of this other stuff. Uh-huh. And the phrase, the terms in there that he uses is essentially that the people in charge of football at the top of the game in England have enjoyed like 30 years of real unprecedented growth without tackling any of the regulatory and legal challenges that come along with it. They've basically just pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. And as a result, we have no framework to deal with this kind of stuff. It's so ad hoc that it seems to be everyone's just standing there, you know, just hanging in the breeze. And so who knows what's going to happen, if anything.
Yeah, I mean, Guardiola has repeatedly defended Manchester City, of course, over these allegations recently, saying, "We are innocent until guilt is proved."
Yeah.
Well, also, I mean, that's
said he'll manage them in League One, didn't he, if that happens. But his contract...
Imagine being the supporter of the team that's top of fucking League One, and he pipes up with that stuff. Not now, Pep!
But his contract is over by the time this is apparently going to come through.
Summer 2025.
So if that does happen, he'll be like, my fob doesn't work. Yeah, like, I said I'd stick around, but I can't.
I cannot tell you how pompy it would be for them to go promotion out of League One for the first time in how many years, and Man City come in and Pompey finish fucking third, and that's the game.
And
they get knocked out in the first game of the playoffs. That's how it would work.
That's how it would work.
No, or even worse, you've got to the playoffs again. You've never won a playoff game in your entire history, which Pompey haven't. Who have we got? Man City. Oh, good.
There we are.
They still got, surely they've sold all their players. No, there was nothing in their contracts. They didn't think it'd be a problem. They're all the same players.
Pompey would lose to a Man City Academy team playing on their hands. That's what would happen.
Probably. So this whole situation is, let's be honest, it's going to go on for a long time, as we know, without any delays. And there are probably going to be delays because of appeals and various, you know, chicanery that may happen, as has been suggested by the chairman himself. And it's beyond the understanding of most football fans, isn't it? Because it's so complicated. Mm-hmm. But it is also something that we all have, you know, a bit of a stake in, because it fundamentally changes the landscape of both the Premier League and the Champions League. It affects so much. It has changed football to such a huge degree that I think we should have more access to it. And I think we should perhaps even frame it as entertainment. So I'm suggesting all or nothing, with lead investigator, financial fraud investigator, Mark Goldbridge. Imagine if he could look at the accounts. It would be absolutely fascinating.
Like a Netflix two crime series.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He'd be like a dog with a number of appendages. It would be pure Partridge. Uh-huh. It would just be golden.
But I don't want to watch any more content with Mark Goldbridge. It's already too much.
While I agree with that, I think I would make an exception for this.
Okay.
Well, write it up.
That's my pitch.
Before we go to our bet, Everton away to Nottingham Forest on Saturday at 5:30. Can Everton get back on the wagon after that shellacking by Manchester United?
I think you could frame the question on Forest as well, because they're in a situation where suddenly Steve Cooper is looking a bit iffy in his post, and I reckon this is going to be a really entertaining game, and I'm glad it's on TV.
So I was in the US last week, and I was in the fortunate position to be able to watch Brighton versus Nottingham Forest live on telly at 3:00.
Whoa!
And it was a really good game, and Brighton obviously emerged how they emerged, but they ceded control of the game, right? And Forest really were very unfortunate not to get something out of it.
Yeah.
And by the end of it. And whenever I see Forest play, and the reason I mention this is because whenever I see Forest play, I always find quite a lot to like about them.
Yeah.
It's quite a lot of exciting players to watch, and they always seem to be a threat. But the results, you know, are kind of roughly commensurate with a side, you know, of the quality of Forest in the Premier League. But the issue is, and Vish has alluded to it there, but the explicit way of saying it is that their owner is completely mad and at some point will probably make what I think is quite a stupid decision to relieve Steve Cooper of his post, upon which time they'll get relegated because whoever they replace him with probably won't be as good. Whether that's going to happen between now and tomorrow, possibly. But it probably will happen between now and the end of the season, just chiefly because Maranaka's track record is so capricious.
Yeah,
which is why last season when we were in a bit of trouble and they gave him a new contract, we were like, okay, this is interesting.
And they gave him a new contract, if you remember, in the end of a week where there were journalists who have got good contacts at that club saying, it looks like he's going to go.
And then
from nowhere, he got a new contract. Mm. And that, to me, suggests just real caprice on behalf of the owner.
And also a sense of wanting to shut up the press, which is not necessarily what you need to be focusing on.
Yeah. Right.
Nice for a mention for caprice. Though.
Yeah. Tony Adams, the only way Tony Adams is getting on this
great
show.
Great 90s stuff. But Forest, a bit like with Fulham and a number of clubs around there, are just happy that that Burnley, Sheffield United and Luton haven't really done much at all this season. I know that sounds very, very silly.
But that's how it always happens at the bottom of the Premier League. You're hoping for three teams to be worse than you.
But last weekend, shifted the onus back on Everton to a point because of Bournemouth and Luton's wins.
But Bournemouth, I think that they're okay. They're picking up wins. But yeah, Luton are the ones where you think, oh, okay, they've got something there. Could they build? Sheffield United, of course, play Burnley tomorrow. So Everton, when people think, oh, they'll be okay because, you know, there's three other teams that are poorer than them and whatnot. Well, suddenly they're 5 points from safety.
Yeah, but I think Everton's points deduction will be reduced on appeal.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that's
Well, it could also go up because you know the new account. Sorry, the accounts for this year are going to be submitted in December.
There's no way it'll go up.
Yeah, no, but it can. No, it like can. Sean Dyche said yesterday that he's aware that it being a possibility.
Well, let's but playing with what we know is situation.
Sure.
Yeah, but you're like, right to say that though. Is that Everton? You know, they think to themselves, okay, we've been a little bit resurgent. It's suddenly, you don't want to be, you know, 8 points clear from safety. You don't, you know, so it is.
Well, I think also, just to bring it in very quickly, Marcus, this might fall on deaf ears on your side of the table, but it also shows actually just how vital that last minute goal for William for Fulham was.
Yes, because Fulham
play Liverpool next. Yeah. You don't expect them to get anything out of that.
I wouldn't know.
if they hadn't turned that game around against Wolves in a way that almost made Gary O'Neill spontaneously combust, they would be right in the thick of
it as well. That's why I keep mentioning them, because Fulham at the moment are not scoring goals. Mm. They are down there. But Sheffield United and Burnley is a very interesting one tomorrow, as is Forest versus Everton. All eyes on the bottom.
All eyes on your bottom, as ever.
Well, rear of the year I'm up for. it's also the FA Cup second round this weekend.
Yeah. Yes. Horsham back in it.
How many games are going to be called off because of the weather?
I know.
But Horsham, they do face Sutton United on Saturday at 3 p.m. after being reinstated.
It's incredible because they've got at least a chance of beating Sutton United.
Oh, they do.
And they thought they were dead and buried.
That's right.
And they could find themselves with a big money tie against them in the third round.
That would be great, wouldn't it? That would be superb. Eighth tier Ramsgate, who are the lowest ranked side left, head to Andy Brassel's AFC Wimbledon.
Yeah, Ramsgate have lost to AFC Tottenham this season, the team who I've actually watched play live.
But will they lose to AFC Wimbledon?
Can we please all together hope they do? Yeah. Because for Brassel's sake, that would be fantastic. Yes. And he'll do that thing he always does. Oh, yeah, but I'm more of a European football guy. So until Wimbledon get a win, and he's all about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, it's time for the Ramble-acca with Betfair. With Betfair this season, you can build your football accumulators with their 90-minute payout, where all winning selections will be paid out at 90 minutes on their match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. To put that in perspective for you, if your team's winning and then they concede after 90 minutes, you still get protected. It's actually a lot more exciting and a lot more impressive than it sounds in that read. So today and every Friday, we're building our acca of four match odds, 90 bets from across the Premier League. Now, Marcus, you are up first. I just want to say this before you get stuck in here, that you are on a hat-trick that no one wants. You started out very, very strongly. You had the best win ratio of anyone on the show.
Spurs.
And now, you've gone two... poor ones
Although
in a row.
Frustratingly, Pete inherited my bet last week.
Yeah, he did. But that doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't
matter.
Because
what went out on the broadcast, it was yours. It was yours.
Yeah, I get an assist.
So you need to bounce back here.
Yeah, I think this is a fairly bold bet. I've gone for Crystal Palace to win away at West Ham.
Mm. Well, let's not bother doing the rest of the fucking picks then, because that's not going to happen, is it?
Do you not think?
The only thing going for that bet is that West Ham have played in Europe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Palace need a win.
I should have done you last. Palace to win. Jim, you've got actually a very poor record, mate. You've got 6 out of 13, which is now under 50%.
That bad.
Under 50%.
Out of 13?
Yeah.
It's a lot, isn't it?
6 out of 13 is under 50%.
Unlucky for some.
Whichever way you slice it.
I think it's all right.
Presumably you're going for a banker.
I am going for a banker, absolutely. I think Liverpool will beat Fulham quite violently.
I don't think anyone listening will mind you trying to get back on the horse in that fashion. Vish, you have you're now on 3 in a row incorrect, so you're going for your fourth. Well, you're not going for it, but you might have you might have your fourth incorrect one in a row, and we need you back on the horse as well.
So I'm going for Everton to win away at Forest. They've got a very good away record. I've spoken about Forest being in a little bit of strife, I'm going for an Everton win.
Okay, so we've got two away wins out of three so far. I've gone for Arsenal to beat Wolves. First show back for a while.
Well done.
Need to start out in the right way.
Arsenal will get a penalty at least in that game.
I hate backing against Gag O'Neill. You know that.
Gag O'Neill.
But in this situation, I've gone for an Arsenal win. So in summary, Palace to win against West Ham at the London Stadium. Liverpool to beat Fulham at home. Everton to win against Forest. And Arsenal to beat Wolves. A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £126.72. And all that money, if we win, we'll go to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK. That's actually raised quite a lot of money for Prostate Cancer UK already this season. We'll total it up, actually, and we'll give an update next week. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their Match Odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by stoppage time drama won't be affected. And that's the same for our Rambalaka every week. And that is a reason to bet with Betfair instead of those other high street places. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook, T's and C's apply, 18 plus only. And for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
And now it's time for this.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
Yes, it's Jack's Encyclopedia. I'm in the hot seat this week, which I'm delighted about because I'm doing very poorly in this game lately. It is a simple game of categories. If you go too slow, I'll play Gary Neville's Orgasm, and that will leave you a generous 7 seconds. Huge controversy last week, which saw Andy lose in a tiebreaker against Vish after he answered DJ Grillo for English players who have won the Premier League.
I didn't like that as a listener. I didn't like that.
Genuinely, I hate saying this. I was Team Vish.
The reason I didn't like it, sorry, Jim, I'm not trying to reassess it or relitigate it. I don't think I've ever won one of these. So I've not got a vendetta against anyone in particular. I just thought it was disrespectful to the game.
What Vish did?
Yeah.
Now, hang on a minute. I've been pulled up before because I've said a player's surname. Okay, well, first name.
Yeah.
And I couldn't quite remember. Andy said something which, you know, who's DJ Grillo?
Andy knows DJ Grillo's real name though, doesn't he?
Well, he didn't say it though, did he?
I didn't like it generally. I think you should respect the game by using the full names at all times.
So you were Team Vish as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. There we are.
So the listeners have been outraged as well.
Oh, have they?
Weary Writer said on Twitter, on X, there's got to be retrospective action brought against Vish for his behaviour today. 3-game ban, points deduction, outrageous behaviour. Derbs has piped up with, will Vish be relegated to OTC pending investigation? That is very much a promotion, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Will there be a statement, a replay? And Hancock Analysis says Vish's behaviour was a fucking disgrace. Wait until JPGMOL hear about this.
Even if I'm relegated to OTC, I'll still turn up.
You'd be out of your depth.
Mate, trust me,
you'd be out of your depth.
I'll still turn up.
I wouldn't put you in the firing line.
Right, we're ready to go.
Yes.
Okay, right.
Who's first?
The first category. Let's go with Vish first.
Okay.
Put the, put him back amongst it. Premier League Player of the Month nominees so far this season. So that's for August, September, October and November. There are 21 players.
Presumably we can have those who have won the award as well.
You have to be nominated.
No. I just wanted to know there wasn't a technicality here.
God, imagine. So, right, Vish, you're up first.
James Maddison.
James Maddison is correct.
Mo Salah.
Mo Salah, he says, correctly.
Oh, good. Erling Haaland.
Erling Haaland.
I don't believe
that's
it.
Outrageous.
That is outrageous, isn't it?
I'm looking for the name. The name is not there. Yeah. Erling Haaland, so Luke, you're out.
It's obviously shit.
I can't believe it.
I've got absolutely no faith in the governance at the top of this game.
Yeah. Vish, this is buying you some time. Who you got?
Oh, God.
Gary Neville, the fucking wanker.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place.
Neto?
Ooh.
Well full done. Name.
Well. Pedro Neto.
Thank you.
Well played. Bernardo Silva.
Bernardo Silva, is he there?
Oh my God, he's been brilliant this season.
No, Bernardo Silva.
How was Bernardo Silva?
Vish gets the point. Haaland, not involved.
Yeah, well, why would he be?
Haaland has not been in the short list of the best players in any month this season.
Do you want to hear the full list?
Yeah, go on.
There's Anthony Gordon.
That was
in November.
Wow.
Brian Mbeumo in October and August. Fair. Christian Romero in October. Declan Rice, also October. Douglas Luiz in October. Harry Maguire in November.
Good boy.
Heung-min Son in September. James Tavernier in November. Jared Bowen in September and August. Jeremy Doku in November. Julian Alvarez in September. Karo Mitoma in August. Kieran Trippier in September. Ollie Watkins in September. Raheem Sterling in November. Rodri in August. Taiwo Awoniyi in August. And Thomas Kaminski in November. So no Haaland, no Silva.
Yeah.
That is absurd.
14 goals in 13 Premier League games.
Not good enough.
That.
Rubbish.
Step up your game,
easy
Haaland.
For him, isn't it? Yeah. Easy. Should be more.
Well, fair enough.
Should be more. So on to the next category. We have teams that started in the group stages of this season's Champions League. That is 32 teams. So Marcus,
we should be here for some time
there,
shouldn't we?
First, we should.
Manchester United.
Manchester United is obviously correct.
Bayern Munich.
Bayern Munich is obviously correct.
Celtic.
Celtic is correct.
Not obviously correct, though, apparently.
Yeah. Galatasaray.
Galatasaray, yes.
FC Copenhagen.
Yeah, that's the group.
Yeah, that's what I'm going on. That's the mental, that's the mind map I'm using. Yeah.
Man City.
Yep. RB Leipzig.
There it is again. Atletico Madrid.
Absolutely right.
Newcastle United.
Uh-huh. Paris Saint-Germain.
There it is again. Milan, AC Milan.
Going to get tricky at some point.
Borussia Dortmund.
Going to take a little while, isn't it?
Lazio. Nice one. Gone early on that for me.
Yeah, I have.
Real Madrid.
Barcelona.
Napoli.
Feyenoord.
Ooh.
Inter Milan.
Actually, just Inter.
Yeah, that would have been amazing if you pulled that.
Actually, international. Well, no, I gave the first name.
Yeah.
Sevilla.
Yep.
So, bear in mind, just remember that I'm not telling the team that's already been said, so don't call me bad for this. RB Salzburg.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Good.
And now I'm out. So I'm in big trouble here. I can't remember anymore.
Yeah, what are the teams?
Fucking you have to come up with it, mate.
You have to come up with it.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final.
Oh, Arsenal.
No one said Arsenal.
Yeah.
Nope.
Oh, fair enough. FC Porto.
Correct.
Lons.
Lons, correct.
Arsenal helped me out there big time. Smashed them about 7-0 the other day. I tell you what, Vish is taking the piss here.
You are, yeah. Come on, Vish.
It's Torres.
I'm just trying to think of names.
He's getting absolutely Gary Neville.
Juventus.
No Juventus this year because of all that cheating they always fucking do. Yeah. So, Marcus, you're up.
Benfica.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Marcus looks at you really aggressively trying to intimidate. The only one I can think of, and I don't know if this has been said or not, and it might have been. I tried to write down everyone that people said.
Get on with it.
Marseille
are...
Brighton?
Marseille are not there, are they?
For fuck's sake.
Oba.
Could have had PSV.
Yeah, could have. Just point to Marcus.
Love it when he does that.
Yeah.
I had another one in the back pocket.
Why don't you sing the Match of the Day theme tune for
us, Marcus? Union Berlin.
So you were missing Braga, PSV, Real Sociedad, Red Star Belgrade. We've gone with the anglicised name there. Royal Antwerp, Shakhtar Donetsk, Union Berlin, as Marcus pointed out, and Young Boys. So that's.
But I think we did pretty well there.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. Not bad at all. So that's a point to Vish and a point to Marcus.
Can we have an England one to finish?
No, we have a designated one.
He doesn't think
one.
Up these clues on
no,
the
I'm
spot
not, I'm
now.
Not improvising these, Marcus.
Sorry, I thought you were the Premier League.
Give him a points deduction.
I might do. So, third category. Teams that have finished bottom of the Premier League since the 99-2000 season. Luke, you
that
are
is,
up
that
first.
Is a good
that's a
one.
Tough one.
99-2000?
Since then, yes.
Oh,
that is a good question.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got to go for Derby County, haven't I?
Yep, Derby County is, one. Of course, correct.
That's the one. That could win you this.
Sorry, Derby fans.
That could win you the round.
Ooh, Sunderland?
Sunderland.
Ooh, nice.
Are in there, yes, correct.
Norwich City?
Norwich City have done that twice.
Yes!
Oh, poor bastard.
Yeah. I think due to a points deduction in 09-10, I think Pompey have as well.
Pompey are there.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
This is getting tough.
Yeah,
now.
It is.
Douche, douche. Swindon Town.
Very good.
Not even been in the Premier League in that time, Vish.
Since 1992,000. Always listen to the question.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
So if I don't get this, it's a tiebreak.
Oh, yeah, because I went first.
I thought since the start of the Premier League. Fuck.
Oh, well. You've got a track record of not listening to the question properly. That's the issue.
Marcus, you are taking some time. I'm going to give you guys a little bit more time on this one. It's a tough one. Both of
I've
you,
got
both
an
of
answer.
You get it as well.
Hull City.
Please be wrong.
Please be wrong.
It's the wrong answer. That
yes. Ah, there it is. Luke Ball.
Listen, can I just take a moment to have a little quick speech here? That is a great...
Can you play Gary Neville?
I've already got the point.
He's got it, he's there.
I think that's a massive point for the whole of the Ramble listening community, that.
There you
go. Not just for me. It's a tiebreaker and I'm in it.
How many did we miss?
Do you want to hear the rest of them? Yeah. So yeah. Aston Villa in 2016. Oh. Bradford City in 2001.
I thought about Bradford.
Cardiff City in 2014. Huddersfield in 2019, Leicester in 2002,
yeah.
QPR in 15 and 13, don't know why it's ordered that way, Sheffield United, 21, Southampton in 2005 and last season, Watford in 2000 and 2007, West Brom in 18 and 2009, West Ham in 2011, and Wolves in 2012 and 2004.
That's a good question.
Tough one. Yeah, really tough one. You did pretty well to get as far as you did, to be fair.
We're on
to
the tie-breaker.
Here we go.
Everyone should be rooting for me, and I should get to go first as the lowest ranking player.
You sounded like a little boy then.
I should.
You sounded like a little boy at a birthday party who'd had too much Coke
and
cake.
I think you could agree is a massive achievement sitting next to Marcus.
Vish, can we do a bit of tactical voting here?
Right, so we're going to start with Vish on the tiebreaker. We've done players that have made the most appearances under Pep Guardiola, Jose Mourinho and Jurgen Klopp. So now we're going to do Arsene Wenger.
Oh.
You need to give me the 21 players who made the most appearances for him. And I will stress that that's across clubs. And that is 21 players rather than 20, because two are tied on 253 appearances, to get all that nerdy stuff out of the way. So Vish, you go first. Who you got?
Thierry Henry.
Surely, yeah.
Gotta be.
Correct.
I'll have Patrick Vieira.
And you'll be right too.
Because if that's wrong, we're done for.
Cesc Fabregas.
Cesc Fabregas is in there.
Well
303.
Played, well played.
Can I go Robert Pires?
Ooh, I like that.
Can go Robert Pires. And he is in there.
I'll have Frederik Ljungberg.
Frederik Ljungberg.
He didn't play for that long, did he? He's in there.
328 appearances under Wenger.
Yeah. Not that long.
No. David Seaman.
David Seaman, he says.
Could be tight.
Goalkeepers play all the time, don't they?
Incorrectly.
That's me out. Business is resumed. Usual business.
Fish.
Can I go for Bergkamp?
You can. 373 appearances.
Sol Campbell.
Sol Campbell, he says.
Surely Big Sol's in there. Oh, you're joking.
He's not in there.
I'm done.
Vish wins. Vish wins.
Press the
button,
man. Absolute
heel. Is that two in a row?
Yeah. Well, he won fair and square this week.
doesn't it feel better when you win properly?
Last week was so much better.
Yeah.
It felt so much better.
Give us a few of the other ones.
You could also have had, in the order of appearances, in terms of most appearances they made that you didn't answer, Theo Walcott. Second in the list, Jean-Luc Attori, let's be honest. Andy would have gone for him, were he here. Aaron Ramsey, Kolo Touré, Laurent Koscielny, Emmanuel Petit. I'm surprised by
that,
but he was also, I believe he was at Monaco as well, so that's probably why. Ray Parler.
All right.
Claude Puel, Bakary Sagna, Robin Van Persie, Luc Sonnier, Gael Clichy, Martin Keown, Marcel Dib, enjoyable name, and Olivier Giroud.
Huh. Blimey.
I mean, the thing is, I'm absolutely delighted that I wasn't playing against Andy with that question, but I still lost.
And Vichy Baby won. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Do join us tomorrow for the mailbag. Follow us on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Get a little bit of Pogues in your ears for the weekend, everybody. Yeah. It is fitting. The keys are in the lock. The door's open. Get out there. Have a lovely time. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in to Raja.
Thank you.
See you soon, everybody.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
so you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.